By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. If you can please recite after me, الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك Ya Nurullah. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another week of Rise and Shine, another morning with Madani Channel. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. Let's begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran, and then inshallah Azza wa Jal, there's so much more to be heard. But first, let's listen to the glorious Quran. Remember, whilst the Quran is being recited, please give your full attention to the glorious Quran. Sallu alal Habib صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الرحمن علم القرآن. خلق الإنسان علمه البيان الشمس وال
الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. Yes, Alhamdulillah, we have begun by listening to the glorious Quran. Many important lessons to be learned from this, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. And the reason I'm mentioning this particular one is because, subhanAllah, as I was driving today, I had to take a longer route. But just taking this route, I was really thankful. And there's one particular reason as to why I was so thankful and why I was so happy to be taking this route. And the reason being is, I set out about 7:30. And on the way, so it was still a little dark, but we were getting some light. And I saw something which is absolutely beautiful. Something which was very, very beautiful, my dear viewers. What was this? Many people would be amazed. Wow, on the way to work, why is it so beautiful that you see? And it was something that we probably see regularly. It was the moon, but alhamdulillah, it was the full moon, my dear viewers. The date is approximately the 14th, if I remember correctly. I may be wrong, 14th or 15th, in fact, maybe now. But the moon was at its full. It was at its full, my dear viewers.
Remember, on the 14th night is when the moon is absolutely at its full. So now it's the day after, so it's close to its full, or still at its full. And the moon was absolutely beautiful. It was immaculate. Honestly, it was so, so beautiful. And within the glorious Quran, that same moon has been mentioned. Yes, that is the same moon. That is the same moon which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam split into two. All of these things we hear about the moon, it is this same moon. We are able to see it nowadays. So whilst I'm looking at the moon, these are the sort of things that we, alhamdulillah, these are the sort of things that we're thinking. Alhamdulillah. And it is a blessing that I have this mindset. Why from Madinah Challenge, from the Mahal, the environment of Da'wat Islami, that we think, the companions, they would look at the moon and they would look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they would say that, we look at the moon, we look at your blessed face, Ya Rasulullah, undoubtedly your face is more beautiful than the moon itself. So, yes, sadly we are not able to look at the apparent face of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Or, in fact, we may be blessed because this is possible. It is a possibility. But my dear viewers, we can yet look at the moon, and the moon is so beautiful. And we can look at the moon and just imagine and think, imagine how beautiful the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam was, Madhavi, was Allahu Akbar. Now Madhavi was on Madhavi channel. We have listened to the glorious Quran, Alhamdulillah. Let's now move on to the praise of the Sahib Quran, the praise of the greatest of mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds, the most generous and kind Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Tumara naam musibat mein jab liya hoga, tumara naam musibat mein jab liya hoga, tumhara naam musibat mein jab liya hoga, hamara bigda hua kaam ban gaya hoga, hamara bigda
دکھائی جائے گی مہا شرم شان
Rabbi, ke aap hi ki khushi aapka kaha hoga, ke aap hi ki khushi aapka kaha hoga, hamara bigda ho aapka ban gaya hoga, khudae paak ki chahenge agle pichle khushi, khudae paak ki chahenge agle pichle khushi, khudae paak ki chahenge agle pichle khushi, khudae paak khushi unki chahta hoga, khudae paak khushi unki chahta hoga, hamara bigda ho aapka ban gaya hoga, koi kahe ga duhai hai ya rasool allah, koi kahe ga duhai hai ya rasool allah, koi kahe ga duhai hai ya rasool allah, to koi tham ke daman machal gaya hoga, to koi tham ke daman machal gaya hoga, hamara bigda hua kaam ban gaya hoga, koi kareeb labe ko se, koi kareeb tarazoo koi labe ko se, koi sirat pe unko pukarta hoga, koi sirat pe unko karta hoga, kahenge ho nabi idhabu ilahiri, kahenge aur nabi idhabu ilahiri, kahenge aur nabi ilahiri, mere huzoor ke lab par anala hoga, mere huzoor ke lab par anala hoga, main unke dar ka bhikari fazle maula se, main unke dar ka bhikari hoon fazle maula se, hasan faqir ka jannat mein bistar hoga, hasan faqir ka jannat mein bistar hoga.
Sallu ala al-habib. sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. We have just listened to the Naad Sharif, praise upon the greatest of mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds, the most generous and kind Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And yes, he shall be our intercessor. There wasn't much of that which I did understand of this poetry. You know, we would have understood bits here and there. But one thing which really did strike out to me was the intercession of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the rest of the prophets, they themselves shall be worried on the day of judgment. And when we shall approach them, they shall say, "Izhabu ila ghayri," go to somebody else. You know, one prophet will say to go to another prophet, ask another prophet, which will eventually lead to the greatest of mankind, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the last and final prophet and messengers. There can be no other prophet, no other messenger after Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. It's not possible, my dear viewers. He's the greatest of all. He was saved for last, the best for last, as you would say, my dear viewers. Each and every single prophet, remember, is a noble individual, a great person. We must love them. They're greater than us, greater than our parents and our family. We must love them. No doubt about it. You know, each and every single prophet we must love. But from amongst all of the prophets, the last and final prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, was undoubtedly the greatest Madani viewers of Madani Channel. And today, mashallah, we have a beautiful topic. Today's topic, really, me myself, I was saying, you know, I'm excited to be speaking about the individual we shall be speaking about today. The individual we shall be hearing about today, Madani viewers. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam states a hadith sharif. He says that inna Allah ta'ala, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he yab'athu lihadihi al-umma ala ra'si kulli mi'ati sanatin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends for this ummah, for the ummah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon every 100 years, upon the pinnacle of every 100 years, who does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send? He sends an individual. مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا دِينَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an individual who shall revive the deen, who shall revive Islam. What does this mean, my dear viewers of Madani Channel? A brief overview is that what happens is, like with everything, as things pass from one person to another person, things change. You know, you get some sort of discrepancies, you get some sort of changes, you get people adding new things, which is known as the bid'ah, innovations, things which are not from the Quran and the Sunnah, things which are not from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, new ideologies. So all of these things are brought slowly over time, they are brought into the religion and people consider them to be part of the religion. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a chosen, a special individual. And that individual, what does he do? He cleans, or he wipes away, or he removes all of these bad, false innovations, all of these false ideologies. And this person is known as the Mujaddid. This person, he is known as the Mujaddid. Now generally, whenever we hear Mujaddid, we think immediately of, you know, the last Mujaddid. Hazrat, none other than the great Shaykh, the master of the East, the master of the Indian subcontinent, from a city known as Bareilly, Hazrat Imam Ahmad Rida Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Yes, he was a Mujaddid, a great individual, you know, a absolute genius, and there's no exaggeration in this, my dear viewers. He was an absolute genius. Yes, he was a Mujaddid of the previous century, but a few centuries prior, there was another Mujaddid, and we have one for every century, or possibly even more than one. There was a person who I think every single one of you would have heard of. Possibly, yes. Whether you were born in the Indian subcontinent or in this country, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are across the world. But if you've heard of some individuals, you know, people of true knowledge, you know, this was a gem. This individual, he's a diamond who, he wasn't hidden. He was exposed to the entire world. People, Muslim or non-Muslim, all over the world, people praise him, people know this individual. And his books up until this day, his philosophy is still read and acknowledged. This is none other than Hazrat Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Muhammad Ghazali. Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And you know, when I say this name, Alhamdulillah, just saying this name, it brings me happiness. This person was a special person. How is he special? Inshallah, we shall hear. This person was a special person, a very, very important person. And he is amongst those many individuals who have sacrificed everything and given their lives for the religion. Really, they have all of their time they have spent, their wealth or whatever it may have been, everything, they were ready to give everything for the religion of the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. He taught us love. I say person for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the greatest of all people, my dear viewers. Really, he's the greatest of all people. And Imam Ghazali taught us how to love such an individual. Really, Imam Ghazali was special in many ways, Madhivism and Channel. Special in many ways. And I'll give you one example. Abu al-Hassan Shadhili, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, you know, he himself is another great individual. But let's not go into his life, Madhivism, inshallah, another time. Abu al-Hassan Shadhili, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he had a dream. Yeah, he had a dream. And where was he? He was at Al-Aqsa, the beautiful land of nowadays Palestine, nowadays Palestine, Medivism, and the channel. In them days, it was part of Syria. So you could possibly say now that it was greater Syria. He had a dream that he was at this place, Al-Aqsa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us there. Such a sacred, such a beautiful place. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the Muslims of Al-Aqsa and protect them. Now, he was at this place, Al-Aqsa, my dear viewers. Remember, Al-Aqsa is not only the masjid. Al-Aqsa is not only the masjid itself, but rather it's the, well, what can I say, the surroundings also comes under Al-Aqsa. There are quite a few buildings. He says he was at this place and he saw that many people were rushing in. That many people were rushing. And he asked somebody that, who are these people? And he said that these are the prophets. The Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam. Where is it they are going? They are going to the greatest of all of the prophets, the Imam of the prophets, the leader of all the prophets. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. And he says he sees a throne which is set up and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting there. Remember, this is in a dream. Now, dreams themselves, my dear viewers, these, inshallah, maybe I will touch upon this in a moment. Let's first listen to this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on this throne. There were also other prophets, the senior prophets. What I mean by senior is even amongst the prophets, there are individuals who have their own ranks. They have their own ranks even amongst the prophets. And the greatest, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but other great prophets, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, they were also given special particular places to sit. And these prophets are rushing to the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? To seek his intercession. You know, speaking again about intercession, to seek His intercession for one particular individual. And whilst this magnificent, this grand gathering was taking place, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says to the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. What does he say? He says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He himself is a messenger. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is also a messenger, but they all understand the rank of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says that to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you say, and this is the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Musa says this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, you say that ulama'u ummati, that the ulama of my ummah are ka anbiya ibni Israel. Hazrat Musa says, Ya Rasulullah, you say that ulama'u ummati, that the ulama of my ummah, the ulama, the scholars, ulama, the scholars of the ummah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are like ka anbiya'i bani Israel. They are like the anbiya, the prophets of the Banu Israel. The children of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam are known as the bani Israel or the Banu Israel. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, that the ulama, they are like the prophets of the Bani Israel. What does it mean, like, my dear viewers? What does it mean by they are like the prophets? And the scholars have, you know, given many reasons, and one is that they're nekiki dawa, meaning they're inviting towards righteousness. This was done by the previous prophets, and it will also be done by the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the scholars. And also is mentioned in other things. For example, it could be miracles or many other things, my dear viewers. But here, Hazrat Musa alayhi wasallam saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is what you said. You said this, Ya Rasulullah, that, you know, your ulama, your scholars of your ummah, they are like us. They are like the Bani Israel. The Anbiya of the Bani Israel, the prophets of the Bani Israel. And then Hazrat Musa alayhi salam says, show us then. This is what you have said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Show us, you know, give us an example. How is this the case? Who is it? Who? Allahu Akbar. This is a great prophet. Doesn't it say Musa alayhi salam was known as Kaleem Allah? That individual who has spoken, Kaleem is the person who speaks, he has spoken with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, my dear viewers, in the world. So what does Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam do? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he refers to Hazrat Imam Ghazali, and he gives one example. And there are others, my dear viewers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen Hazrat Imam Ghazali, this individual we shall be speaking about today. This is the rank he's attained, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gestures towards Imam Ghazali. And Imam Ghazali radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he comes towards Hazrat Musa alayhi wa sallam. As for what happens then, stick with us, let's move to our daily reminder, and then we shall hear. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Many respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we will listen a fascinating account of a Sahabi Rasul رضي الله تعالى عنه إن شاء الله عز وجل. حضرت سيدنا أبو أسيد رضي الله تعالى عن says that one night Prophet of Allah صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم came out of his house and called me. I went in the blessed court of my master صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. He صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم asked me, let's go. We passed by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله تعالى عن. He was also asked to join. We then passed by the leader of Muslims, Sayyidina Farooq Azam, radiyallahu ta'ala an. He, radiyallahu ta'ala an, joined us too. We kept walking until we entered in the garden of one Ansari. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, said to the owner of that garden to serve with half-ripe dates. The Ansari companion, radiyallahu an, presented a bunch of dates. My beloved master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and companions alayhim ridwan ate them together. Subhanallah. How fortunate were those sahaba ikram who had the company of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. After that, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam asked for water, drank it, and then said, on the day of judgment, you will surely be questioned about the blessings of the day. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Usayn radiyallahu ta'ala says that Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu ta'ala and smashed a bunch of dates on the ground and dates dispersed in front of Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Then asked, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, will we be asked about this too on the day of judgment? It was replied, yes, except three. Piece of bread which removes hunger, that cloth which covers the sitr of the body, and that house which protects from hot and cold weather. Other than these three, one will be questioned about each and every blessing. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, we've got so many blessings other than these three mentioned. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has showered many blessings upon us. Alhamdulillah, myself, yourself, and there are many in the world. They are really fortunate enough in many, many, many ways. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has showered His blessings upon us. We need to value them. We should respect and appreciate the favors of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The blessings of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. But unfortunately, we waste a lot of water, which is a great blessing of Allah. When we are doing wudu, when we are washing our car, or maybe we are washing plates, we waste a lot of water. It's a great blessing of Allah. If you want to know the value of this, you should ask those areas where the people don't have clean water to drink. Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, if you want to know the value of this water, which we do not appreciate, ask its value from those areas where animals and human beings drink water from the same pond. Allahu Akbar. Today we waste a lot of food. When we are eating at home, half plate is eaten and the rest is there. If you want to know the value of this food, then ask those areas where people they eat left over. They don't have food to eat. They even eat once a day or twice a day. If Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us food, we should appreciate the blessing of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Dear respected viewers, today Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us health. We need to appreciate this. We can see, we can hear, we can talk, we can walk. All body parts are all fine. If you really want to know the blessings and you really want to appreciate the blessings of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, favors of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, you want to know its qadr and value, then go to hospital, then you will know how fortunate we are, Alhamdulillah. So this is the message. Because on the Day of Judgment, each and everything will be questioned. We have to give answer to that. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq to appreciate the blessings and favors which are upon me and to all of us. آمين بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Dear viewers, and inshallah, mashallah, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. Now we are speaking about the great Imam Ghazali, you know, radiallahu ta'ala, and many of you would have heard of this individual. This is, he's very famous, and he's a person who's no doubt earned his and is deserving of the fame he has, really. MashaAllah, he was a very, very intelligent and knowledgeable individual. We're speaking about the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the scholars of the Ummah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are like the prophets of the Bani Israel. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asks for an example, which, you know, ulama, for the example, for one scholar from the ulama of the Ummah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gestures towards Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked Imam Ghazali a question. And Hazrat Imam Ghazali, being a scholar, he was able to give the answer to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. But what really expresses the brilliance of Imam Ghazali, his knowledge and his intelligence, is that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked a question and Hazrat Imam Ghazali was able to answer that question. But he did not only give him one answer, but rather 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 answers he was able to give to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says to Hazrat Imam Ghazali that, I asked you one question, why have you given me 10 answers? Now, I've asked you a question, you can simply give me an answer. And Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he replies to this too. And he says that, O Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, O Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you a question. What was this question? It is, we find it within the glorious Quran. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ. That, O Musa, what is this in your right hand? In your right hand. O Musa, what is this in your right hand? وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is in your right hand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu salam. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu salam, you know, this is Imam Ghazali saying to Hazrat Musa, that you could have simply said that this is my stick, this is my staff, the asa, as we know, the asa in Musa. This is the staff. This is Imam Ghazali saying this to Hazrat Musa, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you, you could have simply said that, you know, that this is my staff, asaya, it's my staff. But the Imam Ghazali says that, O Musa, what you said was, this is my staff, I lean on it and I beat down leaves for the cattle, for the animals, and I do many other things with it too. So O Musa, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked you one question, you could have simply given one answer, but rather you gave one answer, you said that this is my stick, and then you added on to that I sometimes lean on the stick, I sometimes beat down bushes or leaves with the stick, and I use the stick for many other things. You did not only give one answer, but you gave many answers. Or Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a prophet, a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason is, you know, it's as if Imam Ghazali is saying this, and what the scholars mentioned, what was the reason for Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam saying so much? He could have simply said, this is my stick. But my dear viewers, he was
blessed to be speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is known as Kaleem Allah, where he would speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. The reason you gave many answers was because you were in the grand court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were speaking to the Lord of all the worlds, the creator of all mankind. So you wish to extend, to prolong your conversation. Similarly, O Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, you are a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have been blessed to be able to speak, to converse with you. And I also wish to prolong my speech, to extend them, give more answers, so that I can talk to you for longer. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is the answer Hazrat Imam Ghazali gave to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now really think about this. Just his answer itself is brilliant. Allahu Akbar. Just his answer itself is really so beautiful. And it's understandable. If you were with somebody who was really, really important, you idolize this person, you really look up to this person, wouldn't you wish to be able to speak to them, to say something to them? If you've got nothing to say, then you'd be like, oh damn, I don't know what to say. But if you did have something to say, sometimes people just make up questions just for the sake of it, just so they could speak to somebody. And then if you're able to speak to the person for longer, wouldn't you be excited? So no doubt Hazrat Imam Ghazali was excited. But subhanAllah, how fortunate he was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen him as an example of the ulama, the scholars of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, there's so many great scholars. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has gestured towards Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And similarly, Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he showed his intelligence and his scholarly brilliance in that he was able to answer Hazrat Musa alayhi sallam, and then when an objection was raised, he was able to give a reply to the great Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But if you use the Madani Channel, this is one example. This is one example of the life of Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala. But there's something, in fact, I do need to point out that this occurred in a dream. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, when a prophet, or especially the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes in a dream, then indeed it is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's nobody else. Now when we have a dream and we were to see somebody in our dreams, it's not necessary that it is that person coming in our dreams. It could be the shaitan taking somebody's form. And many times it is the shaitan who is saying things, or you know, whispering things in our mind, possibly trying to trick us in some way. And yes, he does this via dreams too. But the shaitan can never take the form of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself states that when you see him in your dream, that when you see me, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that when you see me fil manam, in the dream, then indeed you have truly seen me. You have truly seen the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's also said that Man ra'ani fil manam, there's two ahadith sharif. Man ra'ani fil manami faqad ra'ani haqqan, that he who sees me in his dream, indeed he has seen me. And he similarly states, Man ra'ani fil manami sayrani fil yaqza, that he who sees me in his dream, he shall indeed see me. He shall see me in reality too. Meaning in his state of wakefulness too. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, which teaches us that on the one hand, when you see the Messenger of Allah, that it's possible to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our dreams. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our dreams. Allahumma ameen. May Allah ta'ala grant us this ability to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our dreams. And my dear viewers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us the ability, inshallah, to see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in, as you would say, in a state of wakefulness. As you would say, generally in real life, the state of wakefulness. Allahumma ameen, inshallah, azza wa jal. My dear viewers of Madani channel, Allahu Akbar. You know, what we've spoken about so far, there's so much to say. My dear viewers, alhamdulillah. This was Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. We will move to our daily hadith sharif, and then inshallah, azza wa jal, we shall continue. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, in today's hadith, we're going to learn a dua that the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would make very often. And this dua is something that we can implement in our day-to-day activities, in our day-to-day lifestyle as well, and try to memorize this dua as well. The hadith is mentioned in Sunan Abi Dawood that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would make this dua: Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shiqaqi wa nifaqi wa su'il akhlaq, which means that, O Allah, I seek protection from you from disunity, hypocrisy and evil character. So if you try to memorize this dua as well, implement this and try to recite this whenever we supplicate in the court of Allah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shiqaqi wa nifaqi wa su'il akhlaq. And from this dua we can understand that disunity, hypocrisy and evil character are traits which are bad. They are something which is bad in Islam, something that we should try to avoid. And Islam is a way of life. Islam teaches us how to live life at its full. And that is by not having disunity amongst our family members. Unfortunately, today we see that many families, they have family discord, and brothers are not speaking to their own brothers, sisters are in discord with their own sisters, there's issues going on in the family, domestic abuse, these type of problems. And Islam is completely against that. Islam encourages that we unite the family, that we unite people, that we join and mend relations and not break off ties with anyone. In terms of hypocrisy and evil character, this is things which are even known to be bad amongst even people who are non-believers, people who are non-Muslim. They also accept the fact that hypocrisy and having an evil character is something which is bad. And Islam came to remove this illness of evil character, remove this illness of hypocrisy, and make people become good human beings, good citizens, people who are civilized, and people who bring goodness to the community. So we as a Muslim, inshallah, try to make a benefit towards the community, a good impact, a positive impact through one's character, through one's akhlaq, the way he deals with people, the way he looks at people, the way he talks to people. They should all be on a very just and civilized manner, something that people are attracted towards. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, you are watching Rise and Shine. Today we are speaking about this Imam Ghazali, his name Muhammad ibn Ghazali. Another very, very important lesson to take just from the name of Imam Ghazali is that there's no harm in a son keeping the same name as a father. My dear viewers, there's no harm in one brother keeping the same name as another brother. And also there are many blessings in keeping the name Muhammad itself. All boys should be named Muhammad and also have another name to call them by. When you're calling them, then don't call them by the name Muhammad, but call them by the other name which they are given. And inshallah, that name Muhammad, attaching that to their name, is undoubtedly a means of blessing. Now Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he was born in the year 450 Hijri, nearly 1,000 years ago. Yes, it's not somebody who's only recent, no, he's nearly 1,000 years ago. And he, it's said about his father, Imam Tajuddin Subki rahimahullah ta'ala, he states about his father, and also why is he known as Ghazali? Is Ghazali his name? Ghazali is not his name. Ghazali is like a title. It's like a title. Like nowadays it would be called Chaudhary. Some people, you know, are given such titles called Chaudhary or whatever it may be. And there's a reason for these names. Now Ghazali refers to that person who's linked to Ghazal. And Ghazal refers to a weaver. His father would weave wool. His father was a weaver. And his father wasn't a scholar himself, but he was a person who undoubtedly, he understood the importance of knowledge. So he said that his father would regularly go to the circles of the ulama. He would regularly go and visit them. He would listen to them. Go to their presence, join the congregations, etc., ijtima'at, whatever it may have been, the gatherings, he would go and join these gatherings. And he understood the importance of becoming or seeking knowledge. So he said that he would cry out for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would do dua. He would always pray for the sake of such scholars. He would say, Ya Allah, grant me children and make them scholars. But if it was a very, very important lesson for parents here, the two things. One, the desire, the wish to make their children into scholars. This is something we're lacking. And the second, praying for those same children. Praying for our children. We are complaining about our children. In fact, there are many other lessons also to be taken from this. It's said that the Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, his father, he passed away when they were very young. And his father said to another respectable scholar, who was also later the teacher of Imam Ghazali, he says to this person, he says that this is all of my wealth. I wish you to spend it all on the education. I wish you to spend all of this wealth. He had two sons, one Hazrat Muhammad, one Hazrat Ahmad Ghazali. Two of them. He said, I wish you to spend it all on the education. The lessons we can take from this and learn from this. As I mentioned, the desire to make our children into ulama. We are lacking this. We wish to make our children into doctors or barristers, you know, businessmen. Yes, earn a living. There's no harm in it. It is good, in fact, if you're earning a halal living. But why is it that we do not wish our children to become scholars? This is a big problem. Honestly, this is a big problem. And it is those children who become scholars that the parents are really, truly later satisfied with. You know, many times they could become businessmen, many times they could become doctors, they could become barristers, but they become too busy for the parents. They don't take care of the parents, they don't respect and honor their parents. The ulama, the scholars, they know how to respect and honor their parents. And they act upon these things and they show that love and they even teach others. So the parents die, the ulama shall pray for them. The ulama shall pray for them. But those who are busy, and this is nothing against doctors or barristers, you know, they're respectable jobs, my dear viewers. As long as they're halal and as long as they remain, you know, a person refraining from sins, then it is good. But also the musika al-medin, at least make one a scholar. This person, he had two children, two sons. He didn't say, I'll make one into a doctor, I'll make one into a scholar. He made them both into scholars. Even if it was to make one into scholar, brilliant. But look at this, my dear viewers. He made them both into scholars. All his wealth, you know, sadly, and this is the reality, there was a person who he says to his son that if you're going to go to school, that's fine, I'll continue looking after you, I'll continue providing for you. But if you're going to go to the Dars e Nizami, yes, this was the student who said that, you know, to his father, I really want to go to Dars e Nizami. No, I don't want to go to college. I don't want to go to university. I want to go to this university, this Islamic university. And this is what his father turned around and said. That if you're going to go there, then I'm no longer going to provide for you. You'll have to work. And that person that, you know, he, Allahu Akbar, is coming, is leaving school. he wishes to do Darsa Nizami, he did come towards Darsa Nizami. And he also had to get a part-time job to be able to provide for himself. My dear viewers, imagine if the father was to spend on his own child. The father will also gain all that reward. And that, mashallah, that student is still studying. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him success. And there's not only one case like this. There are many cases like this, where suddenly the parents themselves are discouraging their children. And if your child is studying Darsa Nizami, then you must motivate him. Yes, with everything, sometimes people have the ups and downs and think, or did I make the right decision, or it's too hard, it's too difficult, I can't do it no more. There are always these problems, and the shaitan will continue to bring these obstacles to take a person off the path. This is the best of paths. So the parents, they should continue to encourage and motivate their children. And sometimes if family members, you know, talk about other things, or, you know, my son or daughter is becoming a doctor or whatever it may be, they should also, you know, confidently speak about their own child. Yes, alhamdulillah, I am proud of him. He's becoming a scholar, which is the best of all things. But if they're going to be scared, then what is the son going to think? Or the daughter, it's not only son or daughter, whatever it may be. Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islam is providing for sons and daughters. Dawud Islam is providing for fathers and grandfathers too, my dear viewers, grandchildren. Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islam teaches everybody. Please, if you can't join, do join. This was only a little about Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala. Honestly, there's so much to be said, and this is the reality. We only give a taster. Our purpose is not to, you know, mention the whole life. We'll require a whole series to speak about the lives or the works of Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala. This is just to give you an introduction, a little about who he was. He was a person who spent his entire life really seeking knowledge. And then the special thing about Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala is that he earned a high status. Even the governor, whoever it may have been, the prime minister of the entire country, the entire region, you know, the head, the emperor of the Seljuks, he would come to Imam Ghazali and seek advice. Imam Ghazali, a time came where he thought to himself, what am I doing? He thought to himself, what am I doing? He wished to leave everything and he went towards Al-Aqsa. And this is when he wrote the famous Ihya al-Ulum. This is why this Ihya al-Ulum has so many things about the inside, because Imam Ghazali would wear expensive clothing. He would be living in a way luxurious life, you can say. Meaning he had everything he wished. He had a great status. But he thought to himself that, you know, maybe I could be affected by pride. Maybe due to having all this, I could be affected by pride. Then what will happen to me? And really, this is when he writes, at the doors of Al-Aqsa, there's a door there. I think it's named after him, if I remember correctly. But there's a place which is there, my dear viewers. And if you were to go there today, you would be told that Imam Ghazali would sit here and he wrote his Ihya al-Ulum. He wrote his Ihya al-Ulum at this place. And what is, if you read the Ihya al-Ulum, it is all about the inner. Really, it's all about seeking knowledge, and these are things, a few things. But it covers the diseases of the heart the way possibly nobody has ever done before. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala. He decided to leave everything, his position, his rank, whatever he had, his money, everything. He would look like a poor person. Now sometimes he would come and he would just sit amongst other muftis. And they would be answering something and sometimes they would not be able to answer. And he wouldn't show that, yes, I know the answer. No, he would quietly go and tell that person that this is the answer. And then when they would discover who this person is, they would say that this is Imam Ghazali. They would not even know. He would, you know, dress up in Allahu Akbar, just simple, very, very simple clothes. This is a person who has given his life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers, before we do come to a close, inshallah, I would like to mention one thing. Imam Ghazali, somebody saw him later in a dream, and they said that ما فعل الله بك, how is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has treated you? And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven me. And, you know, people were thinking maybe it's because of all his works and everything he did. And the reason he mentioned, he says that because once whilst I was writing, there was a fly, and this fly, it settled on my pen, or whatever it may have been that he had, feather or whatever it was, on my pen. And I was thinking maybe to flick it off and continue writing, but then I thought, no, allow it to quench its thirst, to be able to soak the water from the ink. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven all my sins. Everybody commits minor sins, or even major sins. But the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not prophets, they are not ma'asoom. They are not completely ma'asoom, my dear viewers. So Imam Ghazali states, I was forgiven for this reason. And one very, very important lesson is take care and look after not only yourself, but also your environment. Because your environment is affecting animals or birds, you know, insects, whatever it may be, creatures, all sorts of creatures, some we may not have discovered up until now. But we need to be looking after our society, looking after our environment. This too is a very, very important lesson. Time has come to an end, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. Alhamdulillah, there was so much to learn. One more point, and I keep saying one more, is Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami is raising money on behalf for the telethon, and we continue to raise money, my dear viewers, especially for those seeking knowledge. We've heard about the importance of seeking knowledge. Imam Ghazali, the importance he gave to seeking knowledge. And Dawat Islami continues to spread knowledge all around the world. And I humbly request you to contribute towards Dawat Islami. Please do contribute, and you too shall be rewarded. Maybe by the money you are given, somebody will be granted the ability to come and learn, and may become a great scholar, a great representative of Imam Ghazali and his works, and be able to spread the deen like such an individual did, inshallah wa azza wa jalla. And imagine the reward you can gain from this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to contribute towards this beautiful, blessed cause. Many of you, inshallah wa azza wa jalla, we shall be returning tomorrow for more Rise and Shine. For now, continue to watch Madani Channel, and also continue to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine.